Salutan from BA. This is a Rorschach multilateral update from the 4th of November 2025, a summary of what's going down in the world's major multilateral institutions. First up this week, on Wednesday, the 29th of October, the UN General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to oppose the long-running US embargo on Cuba, marking the 33rd year of this annual stance. The measure passed with a large margin, though the U.S. found slightly more backing than in previous years, with several countries shifting to its side. The resolution is an important signal, but it is not legally binding, and the U.S. does not need to comply with it. The discussion unfolded as a hurricane hit Cuba, adding urgency to the situation. Cuban officials accused the U.S. of pressuring allies to oppose the resolution, while U.S. representatives argued that Cuba uses the vote to deflect from its own internal problems. In more news about the U.S., on Wednesday the 29th, U.S. officials confirmed that American troop levels along NATO territory near Ukraine will be reduced, though they didn't say how far those reductions might eventually go. U.S. leaders insisted this isn't about pulling back from NATO, but some worry Russia might read it as an opening to push harder. The Trump administration has sent mixed signals on Ukraine. It approved lethal weapons for Kyiv and imposed sanctions on Russia, yet Trump himself repeatedly praised Putin. Overall, policy and rhetoric often diverged, creating an inconsistent U.S. stance. Speaking of the U.S. and Russia, on Tuesday the 28th, Michael McFaul, the former U.S. ambassador to Russia, argued that President Donald Trump is dismantling key pillars of American influence by breaking down long-standing alliances and distancing the U.S. from global institutions that helped it check powers like China and Russia. He says that this shift is not just ideological, but practical. By treating alliances as transactional and retracting commitments, the U.S. may be losing leverage in today's great power competition. In news about Hurricane Melissa on Friday the 31st, the Pan American Health Organization announced it's working alongside Haiti's Ministry of Public Health to address several flooding caused by heavy rains tied to the storm, which has caused 26 deaths. The agency has field teams visiting shelters and health facilities, delivered nearly 2 tons of medical supplies, and is pre-positioning water, sanitation, and hygiene kits to prevent outbreaks like cholera. In related news, on Friday the 31st, the Inter-American Development Bank boosted its emergency credit line for Jamaica in response to Hurricane Melissa, offering up to $300 million in fast disbursing aid. The funding is aimed at humanitarian relief, restoring essential public services, and supporting other urgent recovery efforts. The Inter-American Development Bank provides rapid disbursement loans and grants to countries facing natural disasters or economic shocks. It can restructure existing loans, offer technical assistance, and mobilize additional funding from partners to speed recovery. Its support focuses on stabilizing budgets, restoring critical services, and aiding vulnerable communities. Moving to trade, on Saturday, the 1st of November, EU and Chinese officials said they'll keep talking about how each side manages export controls, especially after China recently tightened rules on rare earth materials. China agreed to hold off on expanding those restrictions for a year when it comes to the EU, which eased some of the tensions for now. Both sides said they want to keep communication open to avoid trade fights. Still on trade, on Tuesday the 28th, Malaysia hosted the signing of an upgraded free trade agreement between China and the Association of Southeast Asian Nations. China framed the deal as a contrast to U.S. trade barriers, saying stronger regional cooperation beats confrontation. The pact expands into areas like digital trade, green tech and services, and covers more than 2 billion people. Also on Tuesday the 28th, the World Trade Organization director urged sweeping changes to how the organization operates, zeroing in on its rule that all 166 members must agree before making major decisions. She said this unanimity standard makes the body slow and less able to keep up with big shifts in global commerce. However, the director has limited formal authority. They oversee the organization's secretariat, help manage negotiations, and act as a mediator among member states. They cannot impose rules or decisions, as all major actions must be agreed upon by the member countries. The director's influence comes mainly from diplomacy, agenda setting, and coalition building rather than direct power. Back to the UN, on Saturday the 1st of November, the United Nations Security Council approved a resolution to extend its peace mission in Colombia for one more year, but under pressure from the United States, the mandate was scaled back, particularly the parts about protecting ethnic minorities. The US and Russia both abstained from the vote, raising eyebrows as the US signaled concerns over Colombia's peace process and rising impunity for drugs and violence. On Thursday, the 30th of October, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development said governments are leaning more on trade deals and environmental rules to make farming greener. It warned that real progress means cutting back wasteful subsidies. Its new report showed global farm support hitting about $842 billion per year, much of it still tied to market-distorting payments. The group urged countries to steer more money into research and innovation to strengthen food security and sustainability. It also called for better alignment for environmental standards across trade agreements. In legal news, an update on a previous story. On Friday the 31st, Rodrigo Duterte, the former Philippine president, appealed a recent decision by the International Criminal Court, or ICC, that affirmed its authority to pursue charges against him. He is contesting the court's jurisdiction, arguing it lacked proper grounds since the Philippines exited the ICC in 2019, and investigations reportedly began after that. The court panel dismissed this defense, saying the process kicked off while the country was still a member. Meanwhile, on Sunday, the 2nd of November, the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe announced that French and Moldovan law enforcement agencies had wrapped up a technical visit to Moldova that ended on Friday, the 31st of October. It focused on advancing their collaboration in canine units. The program featured training sessions, live demonstrations, and discussions about regulation and operational frameworks. Moving to labor, on Friday, the 31st of October, the International Labor Organization and its partners in Tajikistan signed an action plan aimed at lifting standards of work and social fairness. The agreement sets out key priorities like boosting employment, strengthening worker-employer negotiations, and improving job security and skills systems. Work and labor standards in Tajikistan remain weak, with low wages, widespread informal employment, and limited worker protections. Many citizens migrate abroad, especially to Russia, due to a lack of domestic job opportunities, making remittances crucial to the economy. Labor rights enforcement is inconsistent and unions have limited independence, which constrains workers' ability to advocate for better conditions. On Thursday the 30th, the UK renewed its partnership with the UN Development Programme, or UNDP, by putting in about $13 million to support global development work. The money is flexible, meaning the UNDP can use the funds in a lot of different ways and move them around quickly when health emergencies, conflicts, or natural disasters hit, and can keep progress from sliding backward. And to close this edition, on Wednesday the 29th, the Food and Agriculture Organization approved a $31 million payment to Uganda in recognition of over 8 million tons of emissions cut through strategic forest management. This marks Africa's first results-based climate financing of its kind. The funds will support restoration of degraded land, community-managed plantations, and initiatives prioritizing women, indigenous peoples, and sustainable livelihoods. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. We have some new t-shirts coming out soon, just in time for Christmas. Stay tuned. See you next week.